weekend for another sunrise. Till then, make sure you keep the faith.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine today, maybe a stray shower, otherwise highs in the mid-60s, a southeast wind. Tonight, shower and storm chance picks up, lows in the upper 40s to near 50. On Monday, watch out for the severe weather. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 47 at our studios.
99.7.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Good morning, church. Welcome. A few announcements before we get started. There's some work going on the landscaping already, and there's a little bit of a fund for that. So if you'd like to help out or donate for landscaping, there, by the, yeah, outside, then please do. Tammy Young is our greeter. Okay. Megan did an excellent job of greeting. And Marcy is our liturgist this morning. Tim and Katie are our radio sponsors in honor of Katie's mom, Helen. Tim and Katie and Henry are also doing coffee hour this morning, so thank you for that. If you'd like to sponsor a radio broadcast, please be in touch with the church office. It's an important ministry. We have a number of faithful radio listeners. It's $90 a week. There is Bible study after church today, and also Mabel's mission is winding up, so please get your donations to Margaret. I'm not sure where we're at now. Okay, we'll tell you next. Yes, so if you'd like to donate, please do. And, yes, here we go. There's a Lifeline screening coming up on May 13th. So please sign up for that if you're interested. And we've got some, we are in Easter season. Easter's not just a day, it's a whole season. It lasts until Pentecost, so we've got some special things. Next week, we've got graduation Sunday. There's one graduate. On the 18th, we have Sunday, also confirmation. And also, we're going to try out a Holy Humor Sunday. So, Easter is a celebration of surprise and joy. So, Humor Sunday, because God has a sense of humor. So if you have any jokes that are, you know, church appropriate, please bring them. It will be fun. All right. And now let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship. So you are welcome if you are new here. You are welcome if you've been here your whole life. You are welcome if you are men or women, or however you identify. You are welcome if you are a itty-bitty little crawling guy, or if you are an all-the-way grown-up person. Whatever your background, whatever your abilities, it is good to be together. Now let's take a few moments of silence.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Since the beginning of beginnings, God so loves the cosmos. As creation continues to evolve, God so loves the cosmos. Kindred creatures as community, God so loves the cosmos. Beloved ones, let all of us, of all species, gather in praise and thanksgiving, drawn to the light of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Marcy. And our first hymn is number 557 in the New Century Hymnal, Pray for the Wilderness.
Thank you.
Thank you. And please join me in our prayer of unburdening. This one's a little longer than usual. It's an adaptation. So, Creator God, you made our planet, the birds, fish, and other animals, and you saw all that you had created and called it good. God of life, you formed us, the human family, to be stewards of the work of your hands and to act compassionately and gently to all forms of life. We confess that we often forget that we are utterly dependent upon you and interdependent with the rest of your creation. We confess that instead of acting compassionately and gently, we have instead overused and abused creation, forgetting that our lifestyles impact others around the globe. We confess that we have not done enough to protect our planet. We have failed to insist that our government act urgently and swiftly on climate. We as consumers have not held companies accountable for reckless pollution and carbon consumption, nor have we worked hard enough to limit our own consumption and pollution. God of wisdom, help us understand that whatever we do to the web of life, we do to ourselves. God of power, help us acknowledge that we must act now and wake up to our moral obligation to the future of the planet, which you have entrusted to our hands. And hear this assurance of God's grace and love. Almighty God, creator, shaper, and sustainer of life, we receive your grace and your love for us as we are. And today we open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the pain of the planet amid the changing climate. We open our hearts to your truth to see in you the way of healing and hope for the planet.
Change us now into what you
would
have us to be.
Move us to love.
Given,
renewed, and sent into the world to work for the healing
of our planet and for justice.
For which we all say,
thanks be to God.
Kids want to come up? We don't have very many today, but we are glad for who we have. The Sunday after Easter, like the Sunday after Christmas, is one of the lowest attended of the whole year. It's sort of nicknamed Low Sunday. Hey, do you know this book? It's a really good story. The Courage of the Little Hummingbird. I'm going to read, sort of goes swiftly. Across oceans, lands, and skies, in villages, towns, cities, and classrooms, in whispers and shouts in different languages, the story of the little hummingbird of the great forest is told. I like this one a lot. Long, long ago, flames crackled and leaped. Tree branches snapped, leaves crinkled. The great forest was ablaze. Animals dashed in every direction. They had no choice but to scurry away from the place they all called home. The raccoon and a turtle, alligator, a sloth, all kinds of things, running from the fire. The fire sprang higher and higher as a troop of baboons, a shadow of jaguars, a roll of armadillos. I didn't know a bunch of armadillos were called a roll. A nest of snakes, a litter of rabbits, a bed of sloths, and a pandemonium of parrots all fled, scared and unsure. Oh, poor Sneezy Jack. Bless you. Bless you. The little hummingbird hovered for a moment, wary, as the long train of animals waded into the river or flew across its waters. There she is, all of them crossing the river. I don't know if you can see this at all, but I still hold it up. On the safer shore, the lion shook ash from his nose. The chimpanzee swung from a tree. The elephant stomped her feet. The bear licked his wounded paw. None of them or the other animals dared move back toward the fire. But the little hummingbird thought of each branch and each tree that protected so many animals and the nectar of each flower that fed her. How could she leave them helpless in the raging flames? She swooped down, flitted her wings, and said, "Are we going to let it all burn?" "The fire's too mighty," growled the lion. "But you're the mightiest beast there is. Isn't there something you can do?" "The flames are much too high," cried the giraffe. "Even for you? Your head reaches the clouds." "Can't you see the fire is too angry?" bellowed the elephant. "What if you calm it with sprays of water from your trunk?" asked the hummingbird. "There must be something we can do." "Nonsense," croaked the frog. "It's too late," said the woodland penguin. "It's hopeless," muttered the fox. "Unfortunately," the wise old turtle said, "there's nothing to be done." The little hummingbird disagreed. She couldn't bear to see their home burn, but what could she do? The other animals stayed gathered, making sure everyone made it out safe, and suddenly the little hummingbird became a streak of color racing across the sky. She dove deep, skimmed the river, and filled her tiny beak with water. Then she darted toward the flames. They're all watching her. "Wait," cried the mongoose, but the little hummingbird zipped straight for the fire. "No," howled the hyena. "Stop," bleated the okapi. "What is she doing?" squealed the aardvark. "Oh, that senseless hummingbird," screeched the owl. "She thinks she can make a difference." Ignoring the shouts of all her friends, the hummingbird neared the heat and flames, and smoke hissed around her, and ash settled on her wings. She opened her beak and released a single drop of water, and the fire continued to rage. One little drop. You're being a good sport. The little hummingbird returned to the water's edge. She scooped up another beakful of liquid and raced back through the blanket of gray. Over and over and over, she rushed from flame to water, water to flame, and the animals watched in disbelief. Smoke stung her eyes, and a ribbon of coughs tumbled across the sky when her beak was empty. Even when her delicate wings were singed, she didn't give up. She flew back and forth, one drop, then another, then one drop more. Finally, the lion roared, "Enough of that. You're too small. A few specks of water won't settle this fury. What do you think you're doing?" The other animals agreed. Before taking another drop of water into her beak, the little hummingbird turned to the lion, the rhino, the elephant, and all the animals of the great forest that were bigger and stronger than her, and she said, "I am doing all I can." She's very small. I like hummingbirds. A quiet hush spread across the jumble of animals. The lion looked at the chimpanzee, and the chimpanzee looked at the okapi. The okapi turned to the giraffe. The giraffe turned to the bear, but it was the elephant that stepped forward first, breaking the surface of the river with her trunk. Soon all the animals, large and small, gathered side by side along the water's edge. Ready to do all that they could to save their forest home together. This is an ancient story, the little hummingbird. She is very tiny. She couldn't do a lot. You've seen hummingbirds. They're like this big. Their beaks are nothing. One drop of water, she's lucky if she could get that. But she tried, and she wouldn't stop. And she got all the other animals to join and help too. Doesn't matter how grown up you are, and in fact, kind of relying on you more than some of the grown-ups, all the way grown-up people, to help change this. You learn about this at school, huh? About climate change? Good. I'm counting on you, okay? I'm sorry that we are putting this on you and your generation. And we'll do what we can, too. Let's pray. Holy God, bless all the kids in our church, in our lives, in our hearts, in our families. Help them to grow in wisdom and faith. Love of you, love of their neighbors, love of themselves, love of creation. May we all be like that hummingbird, doing what we can. Maybe it isn't enough, but maybe we can inspire others too. In your name we pray. Amen. And Cherry's got... Yes.
But I'll leave the basket on the table in the back if anyone would like to take some.
Yes. Well, we've got kids.
Next week.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Now.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 148, Praise for God's Universal Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all the faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Our gospel reading today is John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. I love this story, Doubting Thomas, which is a little bit of an unfair characterization. The story shows us that doubt is okay. Questions are okay. Jesus goes to Thomas and invites him to do exactly as he insisted he needed. Put your fingers right here, put your hand in my side, go ahead. Jesus loves him despite or possibly because of his doubts. And Thomas responds, "It is hard to avoid doubt in our world. And I don't know anyone who doesn't have doubts. And frankly, I don't think I would like such a person very much if I did." So the story resonates here with Earth Day. There are lots of doubts and misconceptions and outright lies about the environment and about the climate. I read a bunch of articles on the environment and on climate change, and there seem to be two main themes, at least among the sort of reputable stuff. There's always the climate change isn't real and is caused by volcanoes or something. My dad used to print those out for me. But the two main themes, here are some things that individuals can do that will make a difference. And things that individuals do cannot make a difference. There's a lot of ink on each of these. And the thing is, they're both true. Two things can be true at the same time. There are many things we can do to reduce our own environmental impact. And individually, none of us have a lot of impact. There are 100 companies, fossil fuel producers, that are responsible for like 70%+ of global emissions. Exxon is number 5. Climate change is large scale, the largest scale problem that we've ever faced as humans. It'll take the whole world working together to make a difference. So here are lots of things that you can do that won't make any difference. Except that's a false dichotomy, my friends. And what this false dichotomy does, like so many of them, is guarantee that we don't make progress because it makes us go around in circles. Climate change is not avoidable. We're already in it, and it is getting worse quickly. There will be a devastation within many of our lifetimes, lifetimes of our kids and our grandkids. Food shortages and wildfires and die-off of coral reefs and weather disasters and climate refugees. Mitigating this damage requires transforming the world economy at a speed and scale unimaginable before now. So my spouse, not my husband, not taking straws for his Diet Coke. Not going to turn that corner. My almost 40 years of not eating meat isn't going to make a significant difference. Although if cattle were a country, they would be the third largest producer of greenhouse gases after the US and China. But we need an avalanche of change. A lot of things are free and easy. Skip some meat, don't waste food, turn off lights when you're not in the room, have reusable grocery bags, recycle plastic bottles or don't use plastic bottles. The future hasn't already been completely decided. Climate change is an inescapable present and future reality. But there's still a chance to seize a better case scenario rather than surrender to the worst case scenario. Nitin Sharansky spent 9 years in a gulag for his work with Soviet dissident Sakharov, and he remembers his mentor saying, "They want us to believe there is no chance for success. But whether or not there's hope for change is not the question. If you want to be a free person, you don't stand up for human rights because it will work, but because it is right. We must continue living as decent people." So reducing our impact and reducing suffering is something we do because it is right. And it can matter. Maybe not in the way that we think of, though. Big scale changes happen when individuals make them change. The corporations, the institutions, they're made up of people, lots of people. They're not going to prioritize the environment if lots of people don't. So saying, my changes won't have an impact because I'm just one person, will never get institutions that have impact. Personal changes matter because people taking action in their own lives is one of the best ways to move toward a society that implements policy-level changes, the large-scale changes that we need. Eco-theologian Leah Shade compares these few single individuals trying to make a difference, compares it to the movement to abolish slavery before the Civil War. There were one or two white owners quietly granting freedom to their slaves. And that was admirable, that was good, and it wasn't enough. It needed a national movement, a large group of people who organized and insisted that laws and social conventions be changed. The few well-meaning individuals didn't make it happen, but maybe they started that rolling. And they did it because it was the right thing. We need a global movement to activate the moral imagination of people to demand that laws be changed and that the economy transition. And how do we build that? Well, partly through individual changes. Humans are social creatures. We're made that way, to care about others. And that means, among other things, that social cues matter. Analogy, though there's not much of one. People don't spring into action because they see smoke. They spring into action because they see someone else carrying water. Even a hummingbird. There's a test psychologists did on this exact scenario. They had a participant sit in a room filling out a survey. They thought the survey was the test. It wasn't. The room began to fill with smoke from a vent set up by the experimenters. If they were alone, the participants stopped filling out their survey and went and told someone, "Hey, there's smoke coming into the room." But if there were other people in the room with them also filling out surveys, and the other people ignored the smoke, everyone did. They just kept filling out the surveys as if nothing was wrong. So people don't spring into action because they see the world heating up. They do because they see other people in action. The warning isn't enough. We continue to sit in the room as it fills with smoke. Will politicians, businesses, institutions change because we tell them to, even if we don't make changes in our own lives? If we keep on with business as usual, so will they. But individual acts, along with engagement, might signal an emergency. Your individual changes could help inspire some new norms. And those could actually lead to larger changes. Collective action. This environmental conservation behavior can spread across people. The odds of somebody buying solar panels for their home go up for each house in the neighborhood that already has them. If there's a set, other people buy them too. Even more, if they're visible from the street, more people in the neighborhood buy them. Climate change seems impossible because so many of our norms are set up around consuming. So we have to change the norms. Another study, cafe patrons were told on the way in that 30% of Americans were changing their behavior by eating less meat. They were twice as likely to order a meatless meal. Why? Because changing takes effort, right? Changing any habit takes effort. And seeing other people do it is inspiring, and it shows that it matters. How many people is it going to take to slow down climate change? Almost all of us. How many people can start and make a difference? Each of us. The thing is, if people act on climate change in our daily lives, we expect industry to act also. Part of being human is caring about shared values and reciprocity, and businesses know this, right? They pay attention. They pay attention to trends. Tyson Foods has plant-based alternatives. Lyft is offsetting carbon emissions from rides. Google and Apple and Sony and T-Mobile and others are buying renewable energy. Burger King has an impossible Whopper. Do you think any of them did this out of the goodness of their corporate hearts? They did not, because corporations are not people. Where consumers go, industry will follow. We haven't made them. That individual action versus large-scale change, it's a false dichotomy. Individuals can't solve the problem, but individuals influence other individuals. Teenagers, peer pressure can be used for good. It's part of being human. Vaclav Havel said, "Hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out." I don't know what's going to happen with our planet. I don't know. None of us do. I know if we don't do everything we can, it's going to be bad. I know if we do everything we can, it's going to be bad. I know if we don't change it, it'll be worse. So we who love Jesus, do the right thing. Going back to the gospel, all the disciples were gathered in that room for fear. They'd given up hope. They'd already heard from Mary that Jesus was back. They were despairing and they were afraid. They're still in that same room that they ate dinner at, not leaving. And Jesus came to them, and instead of saying, "What the heck? Where have you been? What are you doing in here?" He said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you, my beloveds." And Thomas doubted. We all doubt. We all wonder if we can make a difference. We wonder if we aren't just kind of screwed. We wonder if what we do matters. And Jesus said, "Thomas, come on, Thomas." And the thing about Thomas is he believed. He declared, "My Lord and my God," and he went all out. He didn't let the doubts or self-recrimination or questions get in his way. And if it isn't us, dear church, if it isn't us, if it isn't people of faith who believe in peace, where all people will have enough, who believe in this world as God's beautiful creation, who recognize the souls in our fellow creatures, who follow a God of life and hope and resurrection, who believe that a lion can actually lie down with a lamb, if it isn't us who are Easter people, then who is it going to be? Legend has it that Martin Luther was asked what he would do if he was told the world would end tomorrow. And he responded, "I would plant an apple tree today." I said earlier, we need an avalanche of change. My friends, avalanches start with a couple of flakes. We need to be those flakes. This church, we're full of flakes. It's one of the things I love about us. So may it be so, church. May we be flaky. The grandchildren are counting on us. Amen. And our hymn is number 563, "We Cannot Own the Sunlit Sky."
Of God's one ration, the all may have abundant life in every earthly nation. We bodies shiver in the night, the weary wait for morning, when children have no bread but tears, and war horns sound their warning. God calls the human nature wake to join in common labor, that all may have abundant life in oneness with their neighbor. God calls humanity to join as partners in creating a future free from want or fear, life's goodness celebrating. That new world beckons from afar, invites our shared endeavor, that all may have abundant life and peace endure forever.
Time to share prayers with God who knows and loves us in all things. Are there any prayers to share today? Thank you.
Prayers for Patsy Herring's family. She passed away this last week.
Prayers for my dear friend Vicki and her family. Vicki is in hospice, and we think that the end is near. So just keep her in your thoughts and prayers.
I'd like to pray for Barb, who's had several strokes and now is in hospice.
Good notes to share. First of all, Harlan and Lorraine Hartman send their greetings to all their friends here at First Church. They're doing well. And secondly, Gary Schlender had his total shoulder replacement on Tuesday and outpatient surgery. He's home and doing extremely well. Got quite a bit of rehab ahead of him, but so far so good.
No more prayers. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Just a thank for the landscapers around our church. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Thank you. Holy God, we pray today for Patsy's family and their loss. We pray for Vicki as she prepares to go home. We pray for Barb. And Holy God, we continue to give thanks for all that is good. For Lorraine and Harlan, Gary's shoulder surgery went so well. For landscapers and flowers and springtime and beauty. For a church village. For all these things and the prayers that we hold in our hearts, hear us today, Holy God. And I have an alternative version of the Lord's Prayer now. Tammy just rolled her eyes at me. I might be projecting. So there are a number that are very, very different, which we'll do for just a short season. But I think it's fun to see what some alternate interpretations, translations. You know, it's questionable whether when Jesus was asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, here's a prayer. There were already a lot of set prayers that people recited. Judaism is full of them. So I wonder whether they were looking for another prayer like that to recite, or whether they were thinking, there is something about his prayer life. There is something about his prayer life that is special. He prayed all the time. He went off in the woods, or not the woods, he went off in the wilderness. He went to be by himself, and he prayed. And I imagine him glowing because of the difference that prayer made in his life. I've said before, we can often, you can just recognize somebody who has a really strong internal core. And he did. And I think they saw that and they wanted it. They hungered. So for just a few weeks, we were going to try a few of these very different ones. This is a South Central American kind of interpretation. Oh, and we've got some good. I don't know where it is. Maybe. We do have some good news. We did in the world just reach a milestone for renewable energy. More than 40% of electricity comes from clean energy last year. That is big. Solar, wind, starting to replace, slowly replace some coal. So the Lord's Prayer is in your order of worship. Our Father and Mother, who is in us here on earth, holy is your name in the hungry who share their bread and their song. Your kingdom come, which is a generous land flowing with milk and honey. Let us do your will, standing up when all are sitting down and raising our voice when all are silent. You are giving us our daily bread in the song of the bird and the miracle of the corn. Forgive us for keeping silent in the face of injustice, and for burying our dreams, for not sharing bread and wine, love and the land among us. Don't let us fall into the temptation of shutting the door through fear, of resigning ourselves to hunger and injustice, of taking up the same arms as the enemy, but deliver us from evil. Give us the perseverance and the solidarity to look for love, even if the path has not yet been trodden, even if we fail, so we shall have known your kingdom, which is being built forever and ever. So if you love this, we're just doing it for a few weeks. If you hate this, we're just doing it for a few weeks. And God invites us to share from our blessings to build this community. May sit. We'll do this. I'll go On his last night, Jesus sat with friends. He took bread. He broke the bread, saying, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Eat and remember me." He poured a cup of wine and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Drink and remember me." Holy Spirit, pour out your gifts on this bread, this cup, that they may be for us bread of life and cup of love. May we be fed at this table. May we feed others. Amen. You'd think things were a little quicker with not that many people here, but no. Who's going to do that?
Listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo, W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere. Take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
I don't know, is it on? Can you hear me from the speakers? Okay, good. All right. This is the